KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. I'm Ron Thomas, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. And once again, we're very pleased to be joined by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center, located at 1401 West 12th, right here in Emporia. Please log on to cccancer.com for more information. Good morning, Dr. Wazir. How are you?
Pretty good, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time off of your busy schedule to join us. As always, always very interesting to have you here, and a lot of great information shared on a monthly basis, so we appreciate that very much. So things been busy at the Cancer Center?
Yeah, pretty busy, Ron. As I was telling you, you know, there's a little bit of a seasonality to most healthcare people don't think about. You know, example of this is like, you know, most training programs in America start in July, you know, so whether you're a resident or a fellow or even medical student rotations, you know, like they always, the start of the year is July 1st, right? And it just so happens to be the most busiest time of the year too, you know, so I don't know why they picked that spot, but yeah, so this is usually a slightly more busier time than most of the year.
And of course, we're fortunate to have the Central Care Cancer Center right here in Emporia, again at 1401 West 12th. You can call 342-1117 for more information. Well, this month's topic, Dr. Wazir, we're going to talk about multiple myeloma. So let's first get the broad stroke. Exactly what is multiple myeloma?
Yeah, so to understand multiple myeloma, you'll have to understand a part of your body that you don't think about often, right? In all honesty, like if you're not in medicine, like, you know, like it's something that you rarely ever think about. You know, it's almost like this ethereal kind of ghost-like part of your body, namely the immune system, right? So, you know, you must have wondered at some point in your life that, you know, like, you know, when you get the COVID shot, when you get the flu shot, the pneumonia shot, the measles shot, like how is it that your body remembers all of these things? You know, you get immunity to so many diseases, you know, RSV virus, coronaviruses, hundreds and hundreds and thousands. It almost seems like, you know, there's like an endless memory of immunity in your body, right? And this whole system is very, it's like one of my favorite topics in hematology and oncology, because this is predicated on a system in your body that is, you know, that's called the humoral immunity. And one of the key factors or the final effector cell that actually makes the antibodies is called a plasma cell, which is the most mature form of a B cell. You know, just to kind of wind back, you know, there's T cells and B cells in your body, right? T cells in popular culture, you may have heard of like, oh, you know, like folks with the HIV, the T cells are mainly affected, right?
Okay.
And they say, hey, they have a low CD4 count or what have you, especially people who kind of live through that epidemic. In the same way, your B cells, these are the cells that make, you know, that makes antibodies. You know, all this wealth of antibodies that your body can make that's made by B cells, right? And every antibody that your body makes, there's a specific B cell. Like there's this one B cell that's floating around in your body, and that cell alone has the ability to make that specific antibody. And all of these cells hang out mostly in the bone marrow, right? If you
okay.
If you open up one of your bones in your pelvis or, you know, your femur, one of these long bones, the stuff that inside is where all the cells are made in your body, including your red blood cells, your platelets, your white cells, your T cells, your B cells, all of them are made more or less, you know, in this substance, right? This is a little bit of a simplification because you have to remember B cells and T cells are cells that are kind of formulated early in your life. You may have heard, Ron, of the organ, the thymus, which is present in younger people. Is this organ that's in the center of your chest, right? So that's the T from the T cell comes from the T, which is the thymus, you know, and the B cell, the equivalent organ for cells that make antibodies is the B organ, which is basically your bone marrow
okay.
and your liver in your early life. So, yeah, I mean, sorry, I kind of went on a tangent, but, you know, it's important. Most people don't think about this every day, but that's where this starts. So multiple myeloma, in the most essential and easiest form to explain it, is this cancer from these cells, which are plasma cells, which is a type of B cell.
Okay. That is quite complex, it sounds like, anyway.
It is complex, but it is, you know, you need to know these few pieces of information because it'll help you understand why this disease happens in the way it is.
So multiple myeloma, how is this disease tested for? What are we looking at there?
Okay, so this is another very interesting topic, right? Because, you know, as I said, you know, this is a cancer of a specific cell that makes antibodies, right? So oftentimes your primary care doctor will run a test, you know, if he sees something that's abnormal in the proteins that are carried in your blood. You have to remember, the majority protein carried in your blood is albumin produced by your liver, right?
Okay.
But the second most common protein in your blood is globulin, which is basically the antibody produced by these cells that we're talking about, the plasma cells, right? So they have a fixed ratio in your body, right? And, you know, usually you have more albumin as opposed to globulin. You have more albumin compared to antibodies. But for whatever reason, if you have increased antibodies, that's the clue that will make your primary care doctor run a test that's called a serum protein electrophoresis. It's a kind of a mouthful, right? But it's easy to understand. Basically, all this is that they take the liquid part of your blood, the plasma, right? And they put it on an agar plate or like on a certain substance, right? And then they run a electric field, right? And the pattern that's formed is predictable, right? Because all humans will have albumin, they'll have this protein, and that protein will only migrate a certain distance, right? But if on this field, if you see that there is a spike of a certain protein of just one specific antibody, that is called an M spike. And if you have an M spike, that is a hint. And a very sensitive hint that you have an underlying problem where you're making an excessive amount of a single kind of antibody. Just one antibody, you're just making a lot of it. And that is a clue that your primary care doctor usually picks up, and he sends you to a hematologist, a blood doctor, to investigate further.
All right. So what about multiple myeloma spreading? Is it something that spreads? If it does it spread quick?
Okay, so that is an interesting question. So it doesn't spread in the same way as other cancers spread, right? Like, you know, other cancers, you think about it, that it starts in one organ, then it goes into the lymph nodes, then it goes to the lungs, it goes to... Myeloma doesn't really do that, generally speaking, right? Because this is something that's a process in the bone marrow. So what it tends to do is it kind of colonizes the bone marrow. Like, normally in a bone marrow, the plasma cells should only be less than 5%, right? But once they become cancer-prone, this number can go up to 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, and they can take over the whole bone marrow apparatus. So this is happening simultaneously in different bones in your body, right? But before we get into that, like, you have to understand that, you know, myeloma doesn't comes out from, like it doesn't happen that all of a sudden you have myeloma. Usually what will happen is that you'll have these cancerous plasma cells, but they'll be kind of weak and they'll only produce a small amount of protein. This condition is called MGUS, you know, so that's called monoclonal gammopathy of unknown significance. And this is how often is the first encounter we have with people with multiple myeloma, that their, you know, primary care doctor has picked up this abnormal protein. They come to you, they have no symptoms, right? They're totally doing fine, but you know they're putting out this extra antibody, which tells you that, yes, they have an underlying problem, right? So this MGUS problem, it goes through stages. This MGUS, the next stage it goes into is called smoldering myeloma, and then it goes into multiple myeloma, right? So it's a continuum of from being asymptomatic, not causing problems, to a problem that's causing severe problems. So the difference between MGUS, smoldering myeloma, and myeloma is called CRAB, like C-R-A-B. It's an acronym, right? So if you understand this part, you'll understand exactly like what this disease is and what it can cause, right? So CRAB, the C part of the CRAB stands for hypercalcemia, which means extra calcium, right? So one way people with myeloma show up, is they'll come to the hospital and they have, you know, we call this like kidney stones, broken bones, psychic moans, right?
Okay.
These are all symptoms of extra calcium, right? Like, so if you're, you know, like people with a very high calcium level in their blood, which can happen from multiple myeloma, and I'll explain why in a second, they can have this presentation where they'll have like muscle pains, constipation, they're kind of like, you know, very tired, right? And they'll have a lot of pain. They can have kidney stones also. You know, all these constellation of symptoms will prompt the emergency doctor to kind of run a blood test, and he'll see, hey, the calcium is very high, and you know that can be fixed, you know, with fluids, and you can kind of get rid of the extra calcium. The second part of the crab is the R, which means kidney. So another way the multiple myeloma can, you know, cause symptoms in people is that they'll show up with like acute kidney failure, right? So, they haven't had, they didn't have to urinate for a day or 2 days, right? And now they're kind of swollen, they're very tired, we call this uremic, right? Where they, blood urea nitrogen kind of increases. It can show up on their skin as a frost. They show up with this presentation to the emergency department, and at that time they see that, oh, their kidneys are really being affected, right? So myeloma can damage the kidneys, and it does it by two ways. One is, as Ron, as I told you, the high calcium. So the high calcium can actually deposit in the kidneys. And you can imagine that now you have an organ and it's like just getting a lot of calcium built in it, it'll damage it, right? The other thing is all that extra protein, the albumin, it can kind of gel up the kidneys. Like, you know, it's hard for the kidneys to kind of process that amount of protein coming out. Or there could be something about the antibody that is specifically injurious to the kidney, right? That that extra antibody that the cancer-causing cells are forming, those are damaging the kidneys, right? But this whole constellation of things is called myeloma kidney. So that brings us to the A part. So A part is anemia. Right. So as I told you, this cancer cell, like it, the plasma cell, which is cancerous in multiple myeloma, it wants to colonize the bone marrow. Right. So it wants to go from like under 2% plasma cell, which is like the normal thing. It wants to just take over the whole bone marrow. So you can imagine now that your factory floor space is being used just to making these useless plasma cells, which are cancerous. You don't have enough space in that part of your body, in your bone marrow, to make red blood cells, platelets, all the other things, right? So that can make you anemic. So oftentimes, you know, that's the first presentation where you're anemic. And that brings us to the last thing, which is B, which is bones, right? So this is very odd, but for whatever reason, the plasma cell in the bone marrow produces substances that will cause the other parts of the bones, and I'm not saying adjacent, it means anywhere in your body, they can cause your bones to have hollow spaces. It can do things that can cause your bones to have hollow spaces. These are called osteolytic reason. And this is the reason, Ron, that I said that you have high calcium, because your bones are being hollowed out by these empty spaces. So if you understand these five symptoms, these are the main symptoms of multiple myeloma.
That is our topic today, and he is Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center. This is the Central Care Cancer Center Monday edition of the Talk of Emporium, and we will be back with more right after this. KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. I'm Ron Thomas, hosting the Central Care Cancer Center Monday edition of the Talk of Emporium. And we're joined, as we always are, by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center here in Emporium at 1401 West 12th. Log on to cccancer.com for more information. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. And you're certainly invited to call 342-1117 for more information. Multiple myeloma is our topic today with Dr. Ali Wazir. Well, Dr. Wazir, prevention, early detection, what may be some of the symptoms we would need to watch for here?
Yeah, so there's nothing really that you can truly do to prevent multiple myeloma, unfortunately. I mean, there's certain risk factors. If you have a family history of multiple myeloma or MGUS or another related disease, which is called Waldenstrom's macroglobulinemia or amyloidosis, if you have these kind of, these are all kind of sister diseases. If you have any of these diseases, that means that you may have a higher risk of it. But unfortunately, unlike breast cancer, unlike colon cancer, we haven't identified any genetic syndromes. By that, what I mean is that you have a gene that I can test you for that can tell me that, oh, you have X amount of chance of getting myeloma. That doesn't exist. It's more common in African Americans than in Caucasians or other races. It is more common in men than women. It affects one in 131 men, and only one in 103. It's the other way around. Sorry,
okay.
Women. So it's more common in men than women. But you know, apart from these few things, like smoking is not directly related to myeloma. There's nothing really else that comes in. The early detection part is interesting, you know. And as I said, you know, some of these symptoms we talked about in the CRAB criteria should clue you in, you know. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, you know, there's some people who come in and they're middle ages, you know, they're around 60 years old, 50 years old, what have you, and they start having lower back pain, right? I mean, unfortunately, lower back pain is the most common complaint in America, right? Like, it's the leading cause of, like, ED visits, the most common complaint, right? But a subset of these people will have lower back pain because, you know, they have those empty lesions in the back from multiple myeloma, right? So, you know, your primary care doctor has to be kind of in tune to this, you know, like, if there's, like, anemia in the person and you don't have a good explanation for it. If, as I said, you know, the albumin to globulin ratio is flipped, where you have extra globulin, which is not the natural state of thing. All these things could prompt him to do the specific testing for myeloma. And the good thing is the specific testing for myeloma is highly specific. It's just one blood test. It's called an SPEP, you know. So that's usually like, you know, the early detection, there's, you know, it's a rare enough disease that it doesn't make sense to screen everybody. It's not like a colonoscopy or a mammogram, but certainly, like, people who have symptoms that are suggestive of it, it's an easy enough test that you can do, and with just one blood test, you can kind of exclude it, you know.
So the doctor would be able to tell something pretty easily.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially if you have the things that we talked about, you know, bone lesions that can cause back pain in some patients, you know, fractures, you know, that just happen due to, like, you know, multiple myeloma, anemia, as we talked about, high calcium. You know, all those CRAB criteria, as we call it, like, those symptoms should definitely prompt an investigation for myeloma. But apart from that, before that, like, you know, abnormal albumin to globulin ratio on a, you know, a comprehensive metabolic profile that is often done in PCP offices, all these things should prompt them to do testing for multiple myeloma.
Multiple myeloma is our topic today. And you can also log on to KVOE.com and get in our audio vault. All the past programs are there. And this one is posted, too, at KVOE.com. You can listen to all of the past programs with Dr. Ali Wazir from the Central Care Cancer Center. This is the Central Care Cancer Center Monday edition of the Talk of Emporia. We are back with more right after this. KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Ron Thomas hosting the Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia with Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center, located at 1401 West 12th, right here in Emporia. Please log on to cccancer.com for more information. Multiple myeloma, our topic today. And Dr. Wazir, let's talk about treatments now. What we have to look at, I guess, depending on what stage of myeloma that people are experiencing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the staging for myeloma is, you know, it's not like other cancers because, you know, there's nothing that you can measure truly. It's more about the quantity in the bone marrow. So, you know, usually the initial step is to do a bone marrow to kind of, you know, figure out you know, the amount of plasma cells that are happening in the bone marrow. Sometimes this is tricky because, you know, it's called multiple myeloma because, you know, it's a patchy disease. You know, you can have some bone marrow that's very involved and some that's not involved at all. So some patients may end up requiring multiple bone marrow biopsies to figure out, you know, the quantity of the myeloma. Once you do that, there's certain tests that you can do, certain genetic signatures that can tell you about how aggressive this myeloma is going to be, right? And that kind of determines the treatment you're going to choose, right? In the past, we, you know, remember this, myeloma is a slow disease. It's like a slow burn, right? If you don't do anything, like, people aren't going to die in 1 year or 2 years. Usually they live out, you know, if you see before effective treatment, like, they're living out at least 6-7 years, right?
Yeah.
So it's a slow-growing disease, but it can really affect your life, you know, because it can cause kidney failure. It can cause your, you know, multiple fractures in your bones, a lot of bone pain. So even though it's not a, you know, very truly deadly cancer in that sense, it's, you know, it's life-changing. It can definitely affect your life by its symptoms, right? But now, you know, initially they tried to do like multi-agent chemotherapy, like how you see in other cancers. That doesn't work for myeloma that well. Myeloma is a very chemo-resistant cancer. Like, there's this thing, even nowadays sometimes we use it, it's called VDT paste, and there's some very complex regimens that were designed for myeloma, and they weren't very effective. And then that kind of led doctors to kind of come up with more specific treatments for it. And now, generally speaking, what happens is that, like, when you get diagnosed with myeloma, you're either treated with 3 drugs or 4 drugs. And this is given over a period of 4 to 6 months. And if the patient is, you know, fit, you know, one option is to have them go for a bone marrow transplant, right? Now, there's some controversy about how effective transplant is with now that you have better medications available. You know, there are almost over 21 drugs that are approved for myeloma at this point, right? And the trick is to use them in different combinations at different points of your disease. But generally speaking, if you're like a young person, you're healthy, this is the scheme that it follows, that they'll give you 4 drugs usually, and these are different kind of drugs. Some of them are antibodies, one of the main drugs that we use is related to thalidomide. So Ron, you may have heard about those kids, unfortunately, who had like those flipper hands, you know, it's a famous case in American medical malpractice, you could say, where this drug was, advertised to women as as a morning nausea pill. and unfortunately, it has like serious, effects on fetuses. So this drug actually had a second life, and now it's used pretty widely in myeloma. So it's a very effective drug in myeloma. It's called lenalidomide. So essentially, Ron, the short answer to your question is that there are many treatments available. Generally speaking, if you're if you have high risk myeloma, or if you are young and robust, the scheme would be like an induction treatment where they give you a lot of the 4 drugs at a time, four to six times in a row, and then you're sent to a transplant center where you get a bone marrow transplant. But this is your own bone marrow. So it's not someone else's bone marrow. It's your own bone marrow. So that's called an autologous stem cell transplant. And the reason they want to give you the stem cell transplant is that they want to give you, at the hospital, when you are ready for the transplant, an enormous amount of chemotherapy, a drug called mephalin. It's called mephalin. Normally, if you give it to a person, they would die from this drug because it's a very high dose. But the bone marrow, basically, it's your own bone marrow that's stored, that's frozen, and is given back to you as a rescue. So it enables you to give this very high dose of chemotherapy. And the thinking is that this very high dose of chemotherapy is able to really hammer down on this myeloma and, like, suppress it to a very low level. So that's the aggressive treatment for, you know, young people or people with high-risk myeloma. After that, they're put on some, you know, they continue to require treatment. Usually they end up, as I told you about the drug, which is related to thalidomide, lenalidomide, and they're just put on that for many years until the myeloma kind of comes back. Unfortunately, myeloma is not thought to be curable at the current...
That was my next question. How effective overall, is this of totally ridding yourself
right.
of myeloma?
Yeah, well, Ron, unfortunately, you know, in all honesty, you know, it's not curable at the current age. And the reason is that, you know, a lot of the slow-growing cancers are very hard to get rid of completely. Right, so the slow-growing cancers, and it's not just myeloma. There are other slow-growing cancers. Like, I'll give you an example: follicular lymphoma. That's a slow-growing lymphoma. That's not curable. Most of the slow-growing cancers are not curable because they're very hardy. Like, you treat them, they go away. You know, for years you can suppress it, but then it kind of comes back. That kind of deal. But, you know, we have made big strides because, as I told you, without treatment, this disease usually was fatal in like 4 to 6 years, you know, that around 6 years mark. Nowadays, you know, it's very common to see people out 18 years with myeloma. And that's mainly due to all these treatments that we have for them.
And that's continued treatment through the years?
Unfortunately, there's only one treatment where that we have for myeloma where for that 1 year while the treatment works, you don't need any ongoing treatment. All the other treatments for myeloma are ongoing. And that one treatment being one of the latest updates in myeloma, it's called CAR-T treatment, which is one dose that you get at the hospital, but after that you don't need any maintenance treatment, and it keeps the myeloma at bay up to 2 years. But invariably, the myeloma will come back after that, and you'll need treatment again. But that's the only treatment that's a one and done, that you just get the dose and you're kind of done with it. Every other myeloma treatment is ongoing.
Interesting information on multiple myeloma. Expert right here, Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center. Dr. Wazir, always a pleasure to see you and talk to you.
Yeah, I know, Ron, this was kind of a lot, you know, information-wise, and I was a little maybe excited during this episode.
I can tell you, your passion comes through every month here, Dr. Wazir.
Yeah, it's just one of those diseases that, as a hematologist, is very fascinating, you know, because the way it shows up and, you know, the various... You know, we only touch the surface. There's just so much to know about myeloma, the specific genetics of it and the trajectory of it and how it's so different in different patients. And I wish I had more time because then we could talk about other related diseases like amyloidosis, etc. But maybe for some other day.
Yeah, we can certainly add that to our list of topics here down the road. Thanks, Dr. Wazir. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Ron. You have a good one.
Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center, joining us monthly on the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia here on KVOE. Again, Central Care Cancer Center, 1401 West 12th Avenue. They're online at cccancer.com, or you can call 620-342-1117. We'll be back next month with another edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia here on KVOE, live and local.